Good evening. To gain the maximum benefit from our time together tonight, you will need to have your Bible open in front of you, either with your digital device or your telephone, or the old leather and paper version. Any will do. Psalms 139. This is a psalm of David, one of the more personal writings of David, because the subject is God and David. When we talk about a personal relationship with God, this captures that. And this can take us to the most valuable kind of self-examination. We may, upon occasion, find it necessary to examine others and examine other churches, examine what people teach. But what we're talking about in Psalms 139 takes us to self-examination. I want to take us through this, starting with the first six verses in Psalms 139, and I need to acknowledge that I have been greatly helped in preparing this study by our gospel preacher, Stacy Krim, who lectured on this text in Florida earlier this year. Psalms 139, verses 1 through 6. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways, even before a word is on my tongue. Behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. David had this personal relationship with God, and this reflects that he wanted to have a closer relationship with God, and his starting place is his awareness that God knew him personally, individually. Notice how personal this is. David uses the words I and me and mine over and over in the chapter. And he is addressing God, and he's using personal terminology. You and your, or thee and thou. David wrote this about himself and God. David wanted to be even closer to God, and his starting place is his awareness that God knew him personally, knew David. And he uses this word that is valuable for us to reflect on. The word is search. David said to God, "You have searched me and known me." What is David talking about? This word search means to penetrate and to examine thoroughly. David is recognizing that God knew everything there was to know about the man David. And David rejoiced in that divine knowledge, even though he admitted it was too high for him to completely and intellectually take in. It wasn't that God just knew who David was among many. It wasn't that God knew something about David. David is aware that God knows everything there is to know about the man David. Inside, outside, everything. And David expresses this in poetic language to make it vivid. David says, if I sit down, if I rise up, David navigated the pathways out in the pasture, tending sheep. Even when David spoke a word, David is making the point, God knew the thought behind the word before it reached his lips. David is making the point, God knows me all the time, everything from the inside out. Even before I was born. He makes that point later in Psalms 139. David's conclusion is, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I can't take it all in. David accepted it even though he couldn't perfectly understand it. An illustration emerges from the life of David. As a shepherd, David had responsibility to know all the sheep in the flock. But he knows that his knowledge of his animals does not compare to God's knowledge of people. And as David seeks to move closer to God, that's his starting place here. He knows that God knows everything about the man David. Now, for us, we need to be alert and we need to be aware all the time that God knows us perfectly. He knows us as well as He knew David. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, the Lord does not see as man sees, for a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We have all this testimony in Scripture of God's perfect knowledge of me as an individual, of each of you as individuals, everybody. I raise this question for our self-examination. Are you comforted or terrified by this thought, this truth? When I reflect on God's perfect knowledge of me, not just man in general, but of me, that God knows me all the time from the inside out, even the thoughts before the words reach my mouth, does that truth about God comfort me? Or does it terrify me? I need to answer that in my heart, and I'm recommending that you answer it in your heart. No thought I have ever had is unknown to God. Job 31 and verse 4, does He not see my ways and count all my steps? Not a single step, way, word, thought escapes the notice of the Creator. No wonder David said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. This is why we study the Word of God, because there is no book written by anyone on earth, by anyone that has greater insight into us as people, individually. This book provides greater insight than any other book, because it was given by the Creator and He knows us perfectly. And all this should cause us to want to be closer to God. Not push Him away, but to be closer to Him. This all led David to observe that he couldn't get away from God. Nowhere he could go. Verses 7 through 12. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you, David said to God. This doesn't mean that David was looking for a way out. taking flight from God. No, he is poetically reflecting on the absurdity of it. As further evidence of God's knowledge of him as an individual, he continues to express his wonder and his awe of God's knowledge. And the idea is, it doesn't work if you try to get away from God. It doesn't matter where you go or where you imagine you might go. You can't get away from God's knowledge of you. David does this in a very logical way. He says, if you go up, if you go down, if you go into the dark, if you go into the light, you can't go anywhere to escape God's knowledge. Now, for God's people, this is positive. This is comforting, and this has rich meaning. If you have a relationship with God through Christ, no matter where you are, God is with you in a positive sense. When you think you are so covered up with trouble and stress and strain that God can't see through the clouds and His presence can't penetrate, you're wrong. He knows exactly what you're going through and what I'm going through. If you're a child of God, there's no place you go that takes you away from God unless you go into sin. Can I say that again? If you are a child of God, there's no place you can go that takes you away from God unless you go into sin. And if you go there, God knows where you went. God is with His people wherever they are in a perfectly comforting sense. I believe that's David's point. And I sure do like it, don't you? If we don't like it, we'd better check where we are. Verses 13 to 16. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. David is saying, this is very important, David is saying, not only, Lord, do you know me now in my present existence, you knew me before I was born, because you created me. In fact, David said, you were the one who made me, and David goes further, you knitted me in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. From this, I am able to say, and you were able to say, God created me. In this respect, we are no different from David, though we are not a shepherd back in that time. There is this intimate relationship that exists between the Creator and the created that in our minds must be individualized. He created me. He created you. It stands to reason that the one who created us knows everything about us. And if we cannot hide from God in the womb, if He is the one who made us and formed us and fashioned us, we certainly cannot hide from Him now or ever. Think of it. We exist because God created us, formed us, fashioned us. We cannot escape from Him. And the truth that we are fearfully and wonderfully made should enrich our response to Him and cause us to want to be closer to Him. We should say with David, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. God created me in His image. And that fundamental creation truth ought to produce in me love for Him and obedient response to Him through Jesus Christ. Verses 17 and 18. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. God's knowledge of the person David is here referred to in terms of thoughts more than the sand of the earth. And David is in awe of that about God. And that takes us to this strong implication. God didn't make us and then forget about us. God was not a cold creation machine like a factory that just produces humans. In the mind of God, there is thoughtful care about every one of His creatures. So beautiful and so treasured by David, he said, if I could, I would count them, but they're more than the sand. David said something similar in Psalms 40 and verse 5. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. Now, that leads us to this inquiry. God's thoughts, as they have been revealed about our response to Him, are these valuable to me? If all of God's knowledge and thoughts of me I highly regard, then let's take a part of that. What about the thoughts of God that have been revealed? Are those valuable to me? The most important question about any life issue, any moral choice, any thought, any potential relationship, any practice is, what does God think? People get on the phone sometimes and call the preacher. Preacher, what do you think? People sign on to Facebook and post to hundreds of friends, what do you think about this that I'm considering? Often what's happening is, not every time, but often people are looking and fishing for affirmation. People always want to know what other people think, often neglecting the most important inquiry. What does God think about this? And the simple truth is, concerning those things we need to know, God has spoken. He has put it in writing. So if I'm contemplating any kind of a choice, any kind of plan or thought, if I know I need truth to live by, I can open the Bible and read what God thinks. Verses 19 to 22. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Now, to the modern world, this is not polite. It is not socially correct. But no matter what the world thinks, here is the essence of what we've just read. Those who hate God cannot become our close friends. Whatever God is against, I am against. I want to reach those people with the Word But I cannot form an intimate relationship with somebody who hates my father. When we take God seriously and we take His thoughts into mind, we stand against everything He stands against. Let me ask, could you imagine maintaining a good relationship with somebody who hated your earthly father? How would that work? Somebody who spoke against your parents. Somebody with malicious thoughts against your brothers and sisters. How are you going to maintain a close relationship with such a person? God's people hate what God hates. And we stand against what God stands against, because we believe God is right about everything. He made us. We cannot escape His presence. His thoughts of us are perfect, and His thoughts in His Word are directed to our best interest. So those who hate God and rise up against Him, we cannot hold to with affection or ignore their rebellion. We can love them as human beings made in the image of God and do everything we can to reach them with the Word, but we cannot form any intimacy with them. They're the enemies of our Father. It is right to hate what the Lord hates, because sin destroys a society one soul at a time. Verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I need to inquire of myself with this text in mind. I need to inquire of myself, do I willingly acknowledge and then even welcome the Lord's careful search of my heart? Now, whether I acknowledge it or not, it's there. Remember, He knows our thoughts before they reach the mouth. Do I willingly welcome the Lord's careful search of my heart and my life? I referenced earlier a writer who supplied great help for me in going through the 139th Psalm. And he concluded his study with these words: if the Lord's knowledge has no limits and His presence is found to be everywhere, if He has carefully crafted a person from his mother's womb and has numbered all of his days, if He knows all of man's thoughts and words and all His creation is illuminated before Him, then a man, a person who would be godly, will find no satisfaction with the wicked and will earnestly desire the Lord's close scrutiny of his life, so that any trace of evil might be exposed and eradicated. I have one more thought to share with you. If I ever start thinking that God is far away, that He is distant, I need to inquire honestly, have I put Him far away? Let me say that again. If I ever start thinking that God is far away, one of my first inquiries honestly ought to be, have I put Him far away? Have I created the distance? As soon as I perceive distance, question number one, did I create it? See, it happens that people put God out of their lives. And then something awful happens, and they call on Him in prayer and expect instant answers. Could it be, when we perceive God is far away, we put Him there? And it might be stated like this: God didn't move, we did. He still knows all about us. He still seeks through His Word our love, our obedience, and our consistent worship and praise. Psalms like this can, if we really take in the words, bring us closer to God through Jesus Christ. Let's be standing as we sing.